Psalm 5 to be found on page 544. Oddly enough, I note the little note above, for flutes. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield.
Great. Well, it's always challenging doing an all-age service on the Psalms, because the Psalms let it all hang out, don't they? All those emotions come out. There's something rugged about the Psalms, even the prayers in the Psalms, like Psalm 5. So let's just pray before I begin, I think. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these psalms, often called the ancient hymn book of the Jewish faith. And we thank you, Lord, for David and for everything that he learnt about you during the course of his life, which is now being poured out in this prayer. Lord, as we read this prayer this morning, may we learn about you and how to pray, and may you speak to our hearts. Amen. So, I wonder here, who likes playing with Playmobil? Or does anybody like that? Is anybody prepared to admit to it? I think we have a secret Playmobil player over on the right hand here. Anybody else? No? Well, you do. Helen does. I do as well. I love playing with it, yeah. No, we have a lot of it in our household. And this is just a small fraction of Miriam's collection. She has at least a couple more houses, a school. She even has a church. And she has boarding schools and normal day schools and all sorts of things going on in her Playmobil land. And the fun thing about Playmobil is you can get completely lost in your own little world playing with your little Playmobil figures. And you can be king or queen of your own little world. And in a sense, all of us are kingdom builders. We all like to build kingdoms in our lives. Often we're content with that. We're content with building our own little kingdom. And in our little kingdom, we look for the things that might make us happy. So what sort of things make us happy? Any ideas, anybody? What sort of things make us happy? Just throw them out. Shout them out. Success. Thank you. Being loved. Yeah.
Chocolate.
That's coming from a male. So, friendships. Yeah, that's good things. So, yeah, so chocolate, being loved, friendships, all those sort of things. They can make us feel happy. What about things that make us feel worried? Money, said somebody. Anything else? Uncertainty. We don't know any uncertainty, do we? No. Yeah, so in our little kingdoms we create, like our little Playmobil kingdom, We are concerned about the things that make us happy, so friendships and feeling loved and having enough chocolate to eat. Or we feel concerned about the things that make us feel worried, like uncertainty and money. So all our prayers become about things which are going to make us happy or take our anxiety away or our worry away. Now, as we heard, the writer of this psalm was David. Now, he was a real king, wasn't he? Now, David was probably the most famous king in the whole Bible. So he was used to building kingdoms. That was his job in a kind of way. And in his life, he got to play with real people and real lives, and sometimes that got him into trouble, didn't it? Quite serious trouble in the case of King David. But David, in his better moments, also knew that life isn't just about our own little kingdoms. Our satisfaction doesn't come just from building up lots of treasures here on earth in the here and now. Nor does it come just from removing all the sources of worry and anxiety in our lives and making sure that all our needs are met. No, we're created to serve a different king, a different kingdom, a much bigger kingdom of God's making. If you look at Psalm 5, if you've got it in front of you, it begins, David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray." Do you see? He prays to my King and my God. And I find that really striking. There's only one person in this country, isn't there, who doesn't have a queen. Who's that? The Queen. Exactly. The Queen is subject to nobody. We are all subject to the Queen if we're English citizens here, or British citizens. But the Queen isn't subject to that. But David here, he was the king, and yet he knew he was subject to another king. He's not thinking only about his own little kingdom. He's reminding himself right at the beginning of this prayer that God's kingdom is so much bigger and so much more important than his own. And I think that's a good thing for us to remember, isn't it, at this time of uncertainty in the life of this church, and perhaps things are going on in your own lives as well, that God is king. And God's kingdom is so much bigger and so much more important than our own little kingdoms that we create for ourselves. It'd be easy for us to become fed up and disappointed, wouldn't it, as we think about this school closing down and where we're going to meet and what we're going to do and all the rest of it. But God is king. It's so much more important than just us feeling comfortable here on a Sunday morning or not going to a place that's going to be harder work or too cold or too big or too small or whatever the problems we face might be. God's kingdom is far bigger and far more important. And what's important to God's kingdom? Well, mainly it's about Jesus being known to more people coming to know and love Jesus, as many of us do here this morning. So ultimately, Jesus promises us, doesn't he? Jesus promises us that actually we're going to be so much happier and more contented if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then he says, all those other little things we look for in our own little kingdoms will be given to us as well. And that's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? The prayer that Jesus taught us, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We look to God's big kingdom, not just our little kingdoms. So that's the first lesson I wanted to think about today. So David prayed to his king and his God. Well, how did he do it? Well, verse 4, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." In David's day, it was likely that he would have gone to the temple to pray, and he would have laid out his sacrifice there before God, and he would have laid out his prayers as well in a kind of ordered in quite a formal way. But even then, he had to do it right. There's a story I want to tell you, and it involves carrots. There was a humble gardener one day, and he had a small garden, and in his garden he grew carrots. And he so loved his king and his country that one day he took a bunch of carrots to his king. And the king looked at him, and he thought, "This guy really loves me. He's bought me carrots." And he was so pleased with the gift that he received that he gave the gardener a big plot of land so that he could grow more carrots and bless the kingdom even more. Now, seeing that, One of the courtiers, one of the important men in the king's palace, was looking on and thought, well, that's a good deal, isn't it? A bunch of carrots for 2 acres of land. I'll go for that. So he came along the next day and he brought the king a fine horse. And the king, looking at him, discerned the courtier's heart. He looked at his heart and saw what it said. And he said, well, thank you. That's very kind. The courtier wasn't very happy. So the king explained to him. He said, the humble gardener was giving me the carrots because he loved me. You were giving the horse to yourself because you loved yourself. That's the difference. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing about, we've got a friend, his name is Jesus. And the chorus goes, big it up, big it up, big it up for Jesus. And that's what we're going to do. And as we sing that chorus, let's think about God's big kingdom and not our own little one. Okay, so God's kingdom is so much bigger and important than our own. Even so, sometimes we feel under pressure from all sides, don't we? And we think to ourselves, well, we just want to get on with our lives, really. And we just want to meet in the church here. And we want to know where we're going to be moving to and all that sort of thing. But sometimes some people let us down, don't they, sometimes as well. Or people are even out to get us and being really horrible to us. Well, David, King David, knew all about that himself. For a long time before he was king, he was being chased all about the countryside by King Saul. Do you remember that? And King Saul didn't want David to become king instead of him, did he? So he was chasing him around the place, trying to kill him. At one point, David even had to leave the countries and find an army of foreigners, basically, in order to save himself from King Saul. Now, we're going to see what that's like. So I need some volunteers now. So I need some young volunteers, and we're going to play a game of It. But it's going to be a non-dangerous game of It, okay? So it's going to be a slow mo. Can I have a volunteer? Can I have lots of volunteers? Come up front, come up front. Come up the front. And then I'll see who I've got. Hello. Well done, well done. Right. Okay. Now, what's your name? Elizabeth. Sorry, Elizabeth. I should know that, shouldn't I? I'm getting there. I will get there eventually. Right, Elizabeth. Can you be it? Okay. Can you just go and stand in the middle there? Right. This is going to be a slow motion game of It. Now, the rest of us, can two of you go to the back? And two of you stay at the front. Yeah, great. Right. Now, your job is to come and get Elizabeth, but you're going to do it in slow motion, okay? Because otherwise the game will be over very quickly, because Elizabeth hasn't got far to run. Okay, so you're going to run in slow motion, and you're going to look quite scary as you come over, okay? Can you do scary? Can you do scary? No. Ah. Oh, I am so terrified. Right, okay. All right, okay. Slow motion, It. Run. Towards It. You're going the wrong way. Come on. Elizabeth escaping. She's escaping. Get her. Go get her. She's going faster than everybody else. Okay. She's looking scared. Right, thank you very much. Right, you're going to have to come back and do that again later on. Okay, so I need my same volunteers. Elizabeth, how did you feel? How did you feel running away from all these scary people? Strange. Was it a bit scary? Would it have been scary if they were really doing it? I bet you would have been running a bit faster, wouldn't you? Okay, thank you. We're going to do that again later. So, what could have David have prayed in those circumstances when he was being chased around the countryside, like Elizabeth was just being chased in our slow motion game of It? He could have prayed this, couldn't he? He could have prayed, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I mean, that's what I would have prayed, I think, in those circumstances. I'm going to be a future king, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And if we're in danger or trouble sometimes or uncomfortable, that's sometimes all we want God to do, isn't it? We want God to pluck us out of those dangerous or uncomfortable circumstances. We say to God, I'm me. I don't deserve this. Get me out of here. But David doesn't pray like that, does he? Because he knows, actually, he's got a different problem. He knows that when he's surrounded by real danger and people don't like him very much, the real danger is that he becomes like one of them. You see, it's a bit like when you play it. If you don't want to be chased by everybody else, what's the easiest way of stopping that? You get caught. And then you become like everybody else, and you chase somebody else, don't you? So the easiest way sometimes, if we're facing the temptation of being surrounded by dangerous men, and we're fearful and we're worried in life, the easiest way sometimes is just to behave like them and be like them. And David knew that for him that was a temptation. So look down at verse 8 and see what David prays. He says this, he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me." So in other words, the most important thing to pray when we're in danger or under great stress is not, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here." It's, "Don't let me behave like those other bad people. Don't let me turn unpleasant situations into unpleasant situations for other people. Lead me step by step in the right way to live, in your way to live." Or as Jesus again would have put it in his prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So when we face frustrations, whatever it may be in our own lives or in the lives here of the church, the most important thing to pray for, I think, is not "get me out of this mess," but it's actually "lead me in your ways, God. Step by step, show me what is right in this situation." So I think that's something we can make our prayer. Finally, what was the result of David's prayer? Well, David was really confident in God, wasn't he? He was confident in God, his king. He knew that God was king over all his circumstances. So look down to verses 11 and 12, where David ends his prayer, and he says this. He says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." So for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Where it says shield there, it wasn't talking about a silly little shield, you know, one of those little round ones. It was talking about a really big shield, like, you know, the Romans would have, you know, or a riot policeman would have. Yeah, the sort of ones that would cover your whole body and protect your whole body. So we're going to play it again. Can we have our volunteers back again? Can we have Elizabeth back in the middle, please? I'm from Norfolk. You don't come from Norfolk without a few of these in your car. Right. Scary it, players. Now try to get Elizabeth. Oh, that's going. Brilliant. You can't get through. They can't get through. The shield is in the way. She's safe. Hey. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Elizabeth, how did that feel? Funny. Well, that's better, isn't it? It was strange last time. Now it's funny, so that's good. So she's feeling better. Thank you very much. You can wrap up the shields. Sorry about the sand on them. Good Norfolk sand there. Right. Thanks very much. You can sit down. It's not so scary. It's not so scary, is it? If we know we are shielded by God's love. He says he's going to shield us and pour out his favor or his blessings, good things he's going to give to us. That's what he says at the end of the psalm. Do you remember I said David was being chased around the countryside by King Saul? Well, there's one time when he was in particular danger. You can read about it later in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Now, David and about 600 men were in hiding in a place called Keilah, in the desert of Ziph. That's Z-I-P-H, Ziph, wonderful name. And Saul was pursuing him. And one day the Ziphites went to Saul, and they said, "Hey, Mr. King, we know where David is hiding. He's hiding among us in the hills. So come on over, and you'll be able to attack him. So if you ever meet somebody from Ziph, don't trust them." Saul said, "Thanks very much, I'll go and prepare." So he went, and he prepared, and he took his whole army, and he went off to track David down in the fields of Ziph. In the hills of the desert of Ziph. Saul and his men began to search, but David found out about it, so he moved his men down to the desert of Maon, somewhere else. But Saul and his army followed them in pursuit of David. Eventually, Saul and his men were getting closer, and they were walking along one side of a mountain, and David was and his men were creeping along the other side of a mountain. If Saul ever caught up with David's men, then surely David would be killed because Saul had a much bigger army. Saul was closing in on David and his men. He was about to capture them. Eventually, the mounted would run out and they'd meet in the middle. But then, David may have prayed a prayer very similar to Psalm 5. Because do you know what happened? Just then, just when Saul's men were about to catch up with David's, the Philistines, the good old Philistines, invaded another part of Saul's kingdom. Messengers were sent to Saul, and Saul immediately had to turn around and go and defend his kingdom against the Philistines in another part of the country. Hooray for the Philistines. David and his men were saved. You see, God had surrounded David with that shield, which offered him favor, blessing, and protection. So when we pray, let's remember that God's kingdom is much bigger and more important than our own. Let's remember that instead of being praying just to be plucked out of a situation, it's better to pray that we will follow God's way, the right way, step by step, finding out what is the good way to go. And lastly, that God will surround us with his favor as with a shield. Let's pray now. Dear Father in heaven, you are our King and our God. We thank you for this example of King David, and who knew how to pray. And please help us as we face uncertainty and difficulties, both in our own lives sometimes and over the future location of this church. We pray that you would always lead us, step by step, to do good and to follow your ways. And we do thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who has defeated all of our enemies, and who has surrounded us with your favor and your blessings as with a shield. Amen.